Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Come get some.
Beware, I live.
IGN Gamescoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Jared Petty,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
Scoop, scoop, scoop.
We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about the PlayStation Neo. We're going to talk about Batman. Do you know who Batman is?
Yes.
Superhero. They call him the Caped Crusader.
Ooh,
sometimes.
Very, very familiar.
The Dark Knight.
But first,
I know Man Bat.
Also a popular character.
Yeah.
That's a real Batman character.
Yeah, yeah. He's in,
totally.
It's just a big, mean bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really the opposite of...
It's kind of in... It's in the end of the first level of Castlevania, if you
Man
that.
Bat.
That was Man Bat, yeah. First, some housekeeping notes. PAX East is this weekend. Bunch of IGN events happening. On Thursday night is the PAX East kickoff party. It's at a club called Royal. It kicks off at 8 p.m. There's a sign-up. There's a link to sign up. The link is too hard for me to remember right now. But go to my Twitter feed. You can find all the information there.
Nice.
The IGN panel is 7 p.m. on Saturday in the Dragonfly Theater. And then that's immediately followed by the IGN meet and greet. Also at Royal, again, and that kicks off again at 10 p.m.
Are you guys going to play 20 questions?
We might play Who Am I?
Who Am I? Ooh, that's the good audience.
Truthfully, though, since I won't be there, you can really just not even, you don't even need to show up.
Or maybe he'll be making a surprise appearance. I don't know. You'll have to come and find out.
It'd be amazing. I'm disturbed by the absence of the comforting presence of your printed notes.
Well,
this week.
You know, Justin really wanted to get fried chicken strips for lunch.
Yeah.
And it just took a little while.
You get those notes all greasy?
Yeah. I didn't have enough time to print off my notes.
Oh, we did.
Let's be serious here. You guys didn't get chicken strips. You got little kids' chicken fingers.
That's true. We did
What's
have
the difference?
We did have
well, ones
little kids
for
lunch
little
today.
Kids.
Yeah.
I wanted to be good and sleepy for the show, so I got a big old pile of just chicken strips and french fries.
Were those from Happy Donut?
Happy Donut.
From Happy Donut.
I also want to give everyone a heads up that if you watch this show on YouTube, the show is moving to its own dedicated GameScoop channel.
This is serious, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Pay attention, class. YouTube.com/GameScoop is the new home of GameScoop on YouTube.
Phew, we got it.
Yeah, that one's easy.
That's much shorter than the URLs from last week.
YouTube.com/GameScoop. The only thing you're going to find on this channel is GameScoop. So it'll be the very, very easy way for you to keep up with...
Sometimes GameScoop plays old games and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we'll do like all the GameScoop content, which is like the show, clip outs, video game 20 questions, and any like Let's Play.
And really, does anybody need any more than GameScoop?
Nothing more than GameScoop. I think everyone should, when you subscribe to GameScoop, unsubscribe from every other YouTube channel that you subscribe to.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to...
And podcast.
Keep you. Yeah.
You get, you're allowed to have GameScoop and This American Life, and that's it.
Which
I think
really
I've been
is.
Listening to Hello from the Magic Tavern, and I think you can keep that one, too. I highly recommend that
What's that one about?
Oh, it's so good. It's about this guy falls through a portal in a Burger King and lands in a magical land, and then him, who's a human from Earth, interviews people from the land of Foon, including a talking badger named Chunt, and who's a regular, and then a wizard named Usador, who has a much longer name. It's awesome.
So a fictional podcast.
Yeah.
Also,
we don't really know.
Well. So, This American Life, Magic Tavern, and how about Good Job Brain? That's a really good one too.
Yeah,
Good Job Brain.
Good Job Brain. Yeah,
Brain.
Good Job Brain.
It's a quiz and trivia.
We have a rain-based podcast called Good Job Brain.
Good Job Brain. Ooh, we could cut into that market.
Yeah.
We could. Yeah. But yeah, Good Job Brain's really cool. That's probably my favorite podcast.
All right, that's enough funny business.
The precipitation.
PlayStation Neo,
AKA PlayStation 4.5.
A.K.A. PlayStation
4K.
A.K.A. PlayStation Money Grab.
Yeah, Giant Bomb had the scoop today. Apparently that's the internal name for the next PlayStation, the upgraded PlayStation 4, PlayStation Neo.
Rumors have been swirling.
Higher clock speed, improved GPU, higher memory bandwidth. The console will also support 4K image output. Starting in October, apparently games released for the PlayStation 4 must ship with a base mode for the current model and a Neo mode. Very close to a Neo Geo.
Yeah, it's the base game, but it's wearing sunglasses.
For the upgraded model.
Right.
It's more like the Turbo Duo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Games that were released prior to this coming October can opt to take advantage of the new hardware with an upgrade, with an update, with like a patch.
Yeah, that's great. So you'll probably see like, you know, Witcher or other games like that patch in.
Now there are apparently not going to be any Neo-only games.
For now.
Neo-only. Mm-hmm. Neo-only games.
Coined it.
Nor
right there, coined it.
Will owners of the Neo console be offered any exclusive unlockables or any special gameplay features, just like the upgraded visuals and the extra memory.
So that's even a little bit different than like the N64 expansion pack, where like certain multiplayer modes were only available in Perfect Dark if you had the expansion pack.
Yeah. And so go the rumors. Again, all this still
of course
very
it's all
early.
Rumor.
Also, similar rumors about an Xbox One add-on.
Yeah,
system
I mean,
chain augmented.
Phil Spencer has been pretty forthcoming with saying, yeah, they are like thinking about ways to upgrade the current hardware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the differences in their two approaches where Sony's very cagey and secret and things are leaking out, and the Xbox boss is like, yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Might probably show who's further along.
Yeah. Do you guys notice if this code name is PlayStation Neo, and the code name for PlayStation VR was the Morpheus.
Mm. Ooh. Oh, man.
That's
so
a really
if
good
we
point,
add one
David.
More, we'll have a PlayStation Trinity.
Yep. Mm.
Oh, ooh. Snap. Mm-hmm. Also, Neo means new.
Mark Cerny is the PlayStation architect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going to set his finger.
Anagram for one, which would make this the PlayStation 1. No, that doesn't work. Never mind. Confused now.
We're still talking about the Matrix, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the architect?
He's the Matrix Reloaded.
The Colonel Sanders.
It's like it's the point when the entire Matrix trilogy fell apart.
Yeah.
And you realize that, this is going to suck.
He goes into space and finds Colonel Sanders. And Colonel Sanders says concordantly and ergo a lot.
Mm. Yeah. Ergo.
Yeah.
Anomaly.
It's such a bad movie.
He talks for 5 minutes and you're like, what? What did he just say?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, goodness gracious.
How does the PlayStation Neo strike you?
Like a wet fish to the face. I really don't like this at all.
I am anti Neo.
Again, as consumer service, I know a lot of people. There are positive things to glean from this, but I think that this is probably going to keep the price of consoles higher than it would be otherwise. I'm used to consoles dropping in price as a generation goes on. Frankly, I buy my hardware a lot of times later on in a console cycle, so I can get it for less money. I feel that it's very possible that this will stifle development innovation. A lot of the best software ever made was made around the restrictions of hardware. Now hardware can continue to just grow and grow at a very quick rate, and I think that may stymie some of those innovations. You remember games like The Last of Us or Grand Theft Auto V, last-gen version. You're just like, how is this even possible on my 360 or my PS3? But people found ways to do it. There's not going to be nearly as much.
Thank you for not using Atari examples.
Right, there are Atari examples, but I wanted to avoid that. I think that this may stymie that. I think this is very good for the people who are selling us things. I don't think this is particularly good for the consumer, especially the 40 million people that went out and bought PlayStation 4s already. Are they not going to have PlayStation 4s anymore? Of course not. They still have the hardware, but they are going to be sitting in their living room knowing that there's something better out there and they spent a lot of money
for
something else.
That's what I told you that I was feeling about
it.
You're channeling my emotions.
Yeah, I am channeling your emotions.
Counterpoint. You can play GTA 5 and The Last of Us on your PS4 and you get prettier graphics, slightly sharper images, and it's still the same great game that it was. So the additional hardware there allowed them to put just an extra layer of shine on it, and then you still get the same incredible game experience.
For $500 plus.
So, but I'm just saying, like, using those two games as examples of, like, last-gen innovation, these incredible last-gen experiences, then you could also play them on more powerful hardware and get, you know, a 1.2 or 1.5 version of that same experience. And no one complained about that.
I think this is all just secretly a VR necessitation. I think that the PlayStation VR requires more processing, and it has probably will have processing in an external box, and like.
Right. We should say that that's the room that could be the missing piece of this puzzle. Mm-hmm. Is that the PlayStation VR is going to ship with some hardware either in the device or in another little box that if you own an original PS4 and get the PSVR, you're getting that bump.
You have a PlayStation Neo in your.
That's the rumor. Like this is all rumor. Like this could all be false. That's a part of this that does potentially make sense.
Yeah.
You get a Neo, you're VR ready, or if you buy the PSVR, then maybe you're getting that additional horsepower anyway on your old PS4. Hmm. So that could work. But even if that's not true, Sam's point that they just have to do it to get to power VR.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and it's in that sense it's. they kind of had to make a new 3DS to add a thumbstick and some other things for companies that are just like, we can't port our games to this.
Well, but here's what's dangerous about that, is because now what about the 40 million people that do own a PS4, then they can't play VR?
Yes. Well, possible. We know that's not true for VR, right? Because they have the attachment.
Yeah, now if there is some kind of attachment and it's affordable, that's a very different story. Sam and I were talking before the show about the N64 RAM expansion. It was a very simple device. It plugged in, played, went, off things ran. But the real key to that was it was like $50. It was cheap, and anybody could buy it for less than the price of a game.
Packed in with the classic game Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah, and
I got mine.
Plug this thing in and off it goes, and it just works, and you're able to keep contemporary for very low investment. People that already have units, unless there's some kind of miraculous $70 external expansion, and I can't fathom how they could do that with the buses that exist on the external ports on the PS4, unless that exists, then this becomes a much more frustrating value proposition.
You know what they did on the NES to get better stuff out of their hardware?
That's crazy.
They put it in the cartridge.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
And the SNES.
So your Super Mario Brothers 3 has and the SNES, yeah, for later, yeah, for sure. There's new chips just put on each cartridge. It was that cheap to do that, although the cartridges were kind of expensive.
But. And Pitfall 2 on the Atari 2600. We got back around to that.
It's crazy that the N64 expansion pack, like when I was living that in the late 90s, I'm like, dude, Majora's Mask looks so much better than Ocarina. I can't believe it. But now when I see those games, I can't tell any difference between them. Like, the 20 years that have passed since then, which it's ridiculous that it's been almost that long, 15 at least, they just look identical now.
I think if you played them on a CRT, you might see more of a difference, because that's what it was designed to manifest.
We also, like, itself. My memories are all, like, games are always different in my head than they were in reality, so.
That's a good point, too. Yeah.
Looking at this is from the IGN comments. Someone points out that the whole point of buying a console is that you spend $400 and you keep it for 7 years. It's good for 7 years. They say, if I'm spending $400 every 3 years, I'm just building a gaming rig.
Well,
but why I guess my question is, and I'm kind of sounding like the defender on this panel, although I'm kind of indifferent to PlayStation to you. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, my response to Jared is, it's not like the PS4 you have is a hunk of junk. Like, there's already a gaming device more powerful than the PS4. It's a PC. And that doesn't make people feel too bad about their PS4, does it?
But what about the power of neurotic obsession, Justin? Like, sitting there knowing that I'm playing this and it's okay.
Yeah,
but that FPS out there somewhere else is better and faster, and I want it. And I need, and for me,
counterpoint, just don't be that way.
Oh, but brain surgery is really expensive.
I don't think brain surgery can fix that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, sure, I completely understand the concern that you're going to be playing Cyberpunk 2077, and on your machine it's not going to look as good as your friend up the street or in the videos that you see on IGN or that they show off at their press conference. Like, I totally get it. But I also, like, I don't know, man, like, I played Witcher on the Xbox One, which didn't look as good as a PS4, but that game was still, like, a 10 out of 10. It was still an incredible video game. Like, I'm not especially worried about it. Like, I think with 40 million PS4s out there, everyone is going to be motivated to continue making those games be, you know, incredible, excellent, compelling, gorgeous experiences.
I do want to address your point you made earlier. We ended up kind of going off on a thing, but you talked about remasters going between generations. You used the example of GTA 5. I am a big fan of remasters. I just think that separating things out every 6 years as opposed to every 3 might be better for the consumer. Also, remasters like the GTA 5 include significant gameplay upgrades. I mean, that added the first person mode, that added all kinds of new things that made it a better game. And when I worry that we're sitting here looking at, I just don't want to know I'm playing the crappy version.
But it's not going to be the crappy version. Like, the version that you're playing right now isn't the crappy version, and that's the same version you're going to be playing this fall.
Not if there's an uncrappier version.
But, like, something else version. Existing somewhere else doesn't take away from what's in front of you.
I don't think you understand neurotic obsession.
You just don't understand. I
don't know.
Obsession.
Like, it is true that maybe I'm not the best person. Like, I don't worry too much about 1080p versus, you know, 720. I played, like, I interchange freely. Like, I played Batman on the PS4, but Tomb Raider on the Xbox One. It's not a concern for me personally. So maybe. Maybe I'm just not the kind of person.
What's weird is that this fall we will probably have a chance to completely replace our Wii U's with a brand new console. Like, is that better or worse? Mm. You know? You're spending more for probably new features and a different system, but also a system that, like, just, like, didn't really take off and it has a good library, but not, like, you know, 7 years of a good library. And Why do we feel different about that?
I feel different about that because there weren't enough games. I mean, I would be happy to buy games for my Wii U for years to come if there were any to buy. Mm. I'm interested in the next Wii because this thing just fell flat on its face. And by the time they started making games that really took advantage of that screen, it was too late to right the sinking ship. So that is Nintendo's bad. I mean, I shouldn't give them a free pass for that. But that's why I think differently about it, is because I have hope that there will actually be software to play on the next one.
I mean, these console generations are, Jared, you said something earlier that I did 100% agree with, which is that it's going to be very good for the console manufacturers, presumably. Like, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. But every single time you have a new console generation, like, that's an opportunity for people to jump ship and change allegiances. Like, that is terrifying, and that's like a terrible business to be in. 7 years, you have to re-up people's loyalty over and over and over again until the end of time. You can't lock them in, like, I use Gillette shaving cream. That's what I'm probably going to use till the day I die. But like PlayStation and Xbox don't work that way. People flip-flop back and forth, mm-hmm. and that's terrifying and bad business for them. Smooth out that transition and try to lock people into a specific ecosystem is, to me, that's probably has more to do with this than the actual decision to, you know, unlock more power for game makers.
No, I think that's an astute observation.
Thank you.
Well, we'll presumably be getting official word on PlayStation Neo leading up to E3, which 2 months from now will be over.
God.
That's great.
That will be terrifying.
E3 will be over 2 months from now.
Yeah, and I'm excited, but we just have a lot of work to do between now and then.
So. I love E3 at IGN. It's just the best.
Yeah, I've always loved E3. Now, Jared, and Justin, you're both talking about remasters. Mm-hmm. Speaking of remasters, are you guys ready to return to Arkham Asylum and Arkham City?
The good Batman games.
Yeah, I'm
good
ready.
Batman.
Especially Asylum. Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited.
Asylum's the one I'm super stoked. Because I just played it once when it first came out, and I haven't played it since then.
Yeah.
So it's a really good excuse to play it again. That's still my favorite game in the series because of the diehard formula.
Mm-hmm. The diehard formula. Good point. It's also very Metroid Prime, and that's what I really like it.
Yeah.
Self-contained. I liked Arkham Asylum as a setting. And they didn't have to explain why there's nobody there. It's winter. Everybody's in their homes.
Exactly. And I felt more like a ninja in that one than in any of them. I mean, they did good jobs with all those games.
It did stealth
generally.
Better.
But what's that?
Stealth was better.
Yeah, the stealth felt better. It was just a little more ninja. They were able to tighten the level designs. And also, I wonder if those surprises are going to work again. You think about things like the Scarecrow battle, you know, for example.
Scarecrow battle and, the Killer Croc sequence is really cool.
Yeah, now that you know what's coming, will they throw twists in to fool you, or are they just going to assume you didn't play this the first time around? I'm curious how that's going to work out.
Yeah, probably not.
Like a Psycho Mantis type thing with the...
I don't think they haven't finished the DLC plan for what's the third one called?
Arkham Knight.
Knight.
Yeah.
I think they still are delivering DLC for that.
Yeah.
Right? It's been like a year. Know.
It's a little bit of a bummer that series was so beloved, and now it's been knocked down a peg or two because of the shaky launch of Arkham Knight.
Yeah, and also Origins didn't help. I mean, we kind of wrote him a pass.
There's been two shaky games.
Yeah, they
to be fair, Origins wasn't Rocksteady.
It's a different
studio. It still tarnished the...
Yeah, that's the problem.
I think superfans still liked that game.
Origins? Really?
Yeah.
Oof. If
the Greg Millers of the world still like that game.
It had its moments. That electrocutioner gag is brilliant.
That was great.
That was great. One of my favorite moments of that year was in a game was that. But yeah, Origins, I think you released two shaky games in a row. That gives people a pause.
It's so crazy. Arkham Knight's on my mind because I actually went back to it fairly recently. You know, I got a third of the way through it and kind of stopped playing, got pulled on to Witcher and other things. But that game is gorgeous and polished and fun and interesting, but it was just, it's like people didn't like that Batmobile, and it was, and everything else was very similar to what came before. The one big new thing that they added just didn't really work that well, but that's still like such an incredible AAA, gorgeous, like just fantastic video game experience, but like that expectations of like, I don't know, it's in that tier of like Zelda games where if it's anything other than just absolutely mind-blowing, people are like, eh.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a rule that goes back as long as there have been Batman media properties in general. If you're going to include a Batmobile, don't screw it up.
Yeah.
Better to leave it out than mess it up.
I do think that in a vacuum, that is an incredible video game. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't exist in a vacuum. It exists on the backs of, you know, everyone's expectations for it, and it didn't really deliver.
Also on the back of an atrocious PC debacle.
Yeah.
And we can't forget that either.
Yeah.
I am excited about those remakes, yeah. They're just great candidates to be remade, too.
They were leaked this week. Were they ever officially confirmed by Warner Brothers? This the Return to Arkham collection?
I thought
it was supposed to be announced this week, but supposedly it's going to be out June 10th, the Friday before E3.
Hmm. Oh.
So, and it includes all the downloadable content and improved visuals, if the leaks are to be believed.
Cool. And then improved visuals again in the fall for PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly.
Second round of those improved visuals.
Speaking of game leaks, what about that Red Dead Redemption prequel?
Whew.
Red Dead Redemption 2, which is actually a prequel.
Which was
Red Dead Revolver.
You can't really go into the future of the, the West has to.
Red Dead was already kind of about the end of the cowboy and the end of that era, so they kind of had no choice but to go earlier.
This week an artist supposedly working on the game posted a map for the game online.
You think he got in big trouble?
Maybe he's not even working on the game
anymore.
Maybe he was just like a contractor.
I didn't get a good look at the map. Mm. I'm kind of trying to withhold.
One of the interesting things about the map is there's lots of water on the map, which would suggest maybe you're traversing water, maybe you're getting in a boat, getting in a raft and going down a river.
You got Assassin's Creed 4, Cowboy Edition.
Yeah?
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, Red Dead was so good. Just one of those revelatory, I think expectations for it were high because it was Rockstar, although it was a separate team from the GTA team. But still, San Diego has an incredible reputation. I don't think has ever made a bad game. But it, unlike Batman, that's a game that had very high expectations and even exceeded them. And I also think Red Dead's interesting because that game came out, everybody loved it, but I feel like it's one of those rare games that its esteem has grown over time.
I think
at launch, people are like, this is really good. And then at the end of the generation, people were kind of surprised to find
the best game
of the generation. This is one of the best games of the generation.
I cannot think of a video game I'm more excited to hear announced than a second Red Dead. I absolutely adored just about everything about that game, even the slower parts that frustrated some people. I actually kind of, they fit the tone of a spaghetti western in a way I really enjoyed. That was a game where I went and I went, it's like, man, I'd love if there were a Lamont revolver in this game. And there was a Lamont revolver. I'm an Old West junkie. I'm just like, somebody dug and cared and they understood Sergio Leone and they understood history and they understood good storytelling and melodrama and they just wrapped it all up. It is a marvelous experience.
Also had really good expansion. One of the best expansions.
Yeah.
Oh, Undead Nightmare.
Undead Nightmare.
It's so good. And they released it as a standalone game too, because it's just it modifies that map so much. It's really the only DLC. I think that's the best DLC I've ever played.
It very well could be.
I think it was also $10 too, or maybe 20. But either way, it was a steal for what you got.
And lined up for the Halloween season. Really cool.
Yeah, and again, with all rumor, the game's not even been announced, but if that is what San Diego's been working on all this time, this game is also many, many years coming. You know, a giant, massive, crazy talented team allowed to work on something for years and years and years. That definitely sends hype levels through the roof.
I wandered around, I remember, just playing poker for days. Just because you could. I didn't need to, but it was so much fun. Such an immersive game.
Wait for the 4K version.
Hogtie a nun and put her on the railroad tracks.
I never actually did that.
You get an achievement for it.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't care about achievements, and I was a good guy.
Rockstar does not generally attend E3, so I wonder when this game could be announced.
Yeah. You know what I really like? Side note: treasure maps in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How it showed you just a drawing and no other clues.
There were puzzles,
And it was like, you would just keep them all in your brain. You'd be like, okay, there is a rock formation somewhere with like a hangman's noose. Yeah. And am I ever going to find it? And you did eventually find them.
Yeah.
It was really neat.
Also, so cool. Lots of cougars jumped on you.
Yeah. That did happen.
Bigfoot. Just the one Bigfoot, though.
One of the first games.
Turned out not to be Bigfoot.
One of the first games I know of that had the hunting and butchering aspect in the animation. They do that all the time in Far Cry now, but
with the one VO line that he would just say.
Oh, the blood splatters on the screen. That was the first time.
And the different desert environments were handled really well. I'm from the Southwest, and there's several different types of desert. And the one I just had moved out here when that game came out to California, and I really missed the Sonoran Desert when I saw it, like the saguaro cactus and stuff. And the Mexican Desert looked really different across the Rio Grande. Yeah. It was very white and with different types of cactus. I just love
probably the best skybox and clouds in games.
Oh man, yeah. And then there's the Monument Valley area, which is just gorgeous.
Guys, we really love Red Dead Redemption.
I want that to get a remake.
It's a prequel. You think you're a young John Marston, or maybe you're just a different character?
I think you got to be a different character because John Marston was a bad guy.
Well, there's so many different.
That guy with a he eventually he had a Yeah, Chain
but
of Hearts.
I know, but that's
so what. So he wasn't all bad.
But before Redemption, he was just a bandit.
I think you're going to be a lady.
Yeah. Oh, that's a possibility. Yeah, Westerns have kind of subgenres.
The Old West was not a great place for women.
The rumor is that you're half Native American.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
There you go.
Work out, yeah. So I wonder which tribe.
You could be a tough Native American lady.
You could.
There was who's the Annie Oakley?
Oh, there was Annie Oakley.
Yeah,
there are many prominent women in the Old West.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Annie Oakley could, people say she could shoot like the pips out of a playing card with a handgun. Like, just an absolutely amazing shot.
You need to say that like John Marston.
Yeah.
So. People say she could shoot the pips out of a playing card. And then
Calamity Jane, the hero of the plane, and other people like that.
Yeah.
Bring me Javier Escuela. What a great character that was.
Oh, Marston?
So funny. Yeah. He's just so grizzled and crappy looking.
He's really good. okay, one more news update this week. GameStop has announced its publishing label is called Game Trust. We knew they had announced before they were getting into the game publishing game.
Yeah, we scooped this before.
We knew that they were publishing Insomniac's game Song of the Deep. Mm-hmm. Now they also announced they'll be publishing the next games from Frozenbyte, the developer of Trine, the developer of The Order 1886, Ready at Dawn, and Deadlight. The game Deadlight, their developer Tequila Works. Their new game will be coming from GameStop. So
interesting.
GameStop is like they're really serious about publishing games, and I bet that really scares traditional.
No
publishers.
Retail games, though, right?
They're going to have an online presence, and their quote from GameStop is, "They will invest exclusive real estate within its online and physical stores."
Smart move on their part. Unlike Blockbuster, who kind of stuck its head in the sand when Netflix came along, it looks like they're trying to adapt with, you know, they see what's coming. They see how retail is changing. They're seeing how the games business is changing, and they're embracing the parts of it that work. I have no idea if this is going to turn out well for them, but it's a smart play. If they handle it well, this could turn out good.
Why aren't digital game rentals more ubiquitous? Like, there's solutions on PS4, for sure. Like, I'm not saying you can't do it, but it should be, like, Netflix for games. Just do it. Like, people have tried, and it's never really worked. Like,
Netflix streaming for games.
Yeah, like, I haven't bought a movie. Well, I bought Star Wars. Before I bought Force Awakens, I had not bought a movie in years, because I just, you know, we rent them, or we watch them on Netflix, or whatever.
I mean, I think Games with Gold and PS Plus are doing that really well.
Yeah, but, yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, I feel
it's
like...
It's just they limit the selection. Choice.
Like, why can't I give someone $5 usually. And play Dark Souls for 2 days?
Well, there are technical issues around that. One of them is that games, unlike movies, you know, you can start watching a movie with streaming data from the beginning.
That's true.
A game, you need to have all the code there before you can start, unless the game's been designed for streaming in the first place. That's one of the problems, I think.
That makes sense. It's a big download.
Yeah, how'd you get here? We're talking about GameStop publishing games.
Because he was talking about them future-proofing their business and being smart about... Sorry, I guess that was kind of a leap on my part.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we can get back to the publishing. I was just thinking about, like, GameStop, what are they going to do in 10 or 20 years? Like, they have to figure out digital game rentals. That's where my head was at.
I like going to GameStop. I walk in and just wander around sometimes. Yeah. I talk to people and listen and just try to get a feel for what they're there for.
I always knew you were that guy.
What's that?
Like, you were the guy, if you're working behind the counter, it's like, oh, this guy's going to come in and talk forever.
No, I don't do that. I just
You just said, I like to walk around.
Yeah, I wander.
Someone picks something up off the shelf. You don't want that, miss.
No, I don't do that. I just find out what people are shopping for and try to get a feel. I go to big box stores every now and then for the same reason.
Oh, my God.
Just hang around in the game sections and see what people are playing on the demo kiosks.
That sounds terrible.
Really?
That sounds like the last thing I would ever want to do.
But I want to know what people are,
I knew it.
We live in a world where the people who watch GameScoop, the people who download it, mostly they are hardcore into games. But then there's a whole other strata of gamer that are just trying to buy something for their kids or buy one of the two or three games they're going to buy that year. And I want to know what they're interested in, too. And those are good places
to do that. I don't think store lurking is a good way to do that.
Okay.
That's fair.
Jared pops out from around the corner. Hey, little boy!
Yeah.
Hello, do you like Mario?
I have a lot of great memories of going to game stores as a kid. To Babbage's, to Funko Land.
Yeah. Who popped out at you?
Electronics Boutique. But I don't enjoy going to GameStop today.
Yeah. The only one that's near the way I get to work and everything is like on Market, which if you have been to San Francisco, you know it's a big consumer thoroughfare with like,
well, it's like a
off
super
of it is
GameStop.
Like Powell and stuff.
Yeah.
Powell Street, which is like the trolley turnaround. Like that area is like really for people out of town shopping. Mm-hmm. But that GameStop is really sparse and weird.
See, I live in the suburbs, so there's still strip malls that are thriving out there. And there's a GameStop fairly near my house.
Yeah.
So I just go wander in this kind of the neighborhood store.
But when I picked up my Wii U, no line.
No
just
kidding.
Walked in. Picked it up, paid for it. I was the only person there.
So why do you think traditional game publishers are going to be really scared of GameStop getting into the publishing?
I think GameStop will give the games it's publishing the best retail space in its store. Or they could.
Sure.
So now, at least GameStop has a greater incentive to feature their own games, the games that they're publishing.
Yeah.
Rather than games that are being published by Square Enix or
I wonder if there's any weirdness.
Capcom.
We don't need to get into this too much, but it just popped into my head. I wonder if that's weird for Game Informer.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't thought about that.
They won't be able to ethically cover those games.
For reviewing those games, yeah.
The other weird thing about them publishing the Order developer, the Ready at Dawn's next game, is that seems to imply that Ready at Dawn is not making The Order 2, because that's a Sony property.
Well, also, The Order was a big AAA console release. The other games from like Trine, Deadlights are just, they're smaller.
Yeah, I think these are small
games.
Downloadable games. I don't think they're going to be in GameStop.
I mean, that does. Yeah. I'm just saying, reading between the lines, that seems to imply that the status of that the Order franchise, it seems to imply that Ready at Dawn's not making The Order 2 because they're not working with Sony on it. Yeah. That's all.
I think it could be like a 4-person team spinoff or something.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. Sure, that's true.
That's true.
It could be. And actually, I do believe that even though these are downloadable games, you'll probably see disc versions of them in GameStop.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Maybe even GameStop wants to do like a bundle.
Well, but so here's weird. If they make a physical version of a game, will it be a GameStop exclusive? Or will a GameStop published game be sold in Amazon? Like surely or that will, publishing division wants to make as much money as they can.
Or like this new game from Ready to Dawn, can I just download it on my PS4?
Yeah.
Even though it's published by GameStop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean,
publishers just handle PR and packaging and stuff like that.
But that's what, like, if they made the game, like, they don't want Target selling that game, but maybe they do.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there's been an exclusive Nintendo over the years has occasionally done. Wasn't it like Chibi Robo on the DS you could only buy at Walmart or at the GameCube maybe?
Yeah, they do exclusive.
Like they've done some stuff like that in the past. And there was a GameStop exclusive as well.
Toys R Us exclusive. Those were usually so bad, I remember. Yeah.
Like, Xenoblade was a GameStop exclusive.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's a precedent.
Here in the States.
But then I feel like that's never great for the games. It's great for the games.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's great for the retailer.
I just don't think this will affect gamers or people that play games at all, because they're just going to buy a game whether they like it or not. So it's an interesting thing.
As long as they can still access it conveniently. Right?
Yeah, I don't think GameStop's like shaking up publishing by doing this. They're just another publisher now. I think it's smart.
5 years later, we're going to sit here. Remember when GameStop shook up publishing?
Right, maybe. It's good for a company that has a lot of money and resources to fund indie games. That's awesome.
Maybe instead of Game Trust, they should have called themselves just another publisher.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Anyway, video game 20 questions. We have an email this week from a great American hero, Francisco Alvarez III.
What's up, Francisco?
Big Tony style.
Says, hello, Damon Hatfield, Justin Davis, and friends.
Yeah.
I listen to GameScoop every week on my way to and from work, and my favorite segment is video game 20 questions. Mm-hmm. I wanted to submit a game, but did not want to submit one that has already been used, but I couldn't remember all of them. I searched to see if there was a list or a wiki somewhere, could not find one. Then I found that the first episode to feature Video Game 20 Questions was on April 24th, 2015, so almost a year old.
Wow.
Episode 341, so I decided to create a wiki myself to coincide with the anniversary.
I edited this wiki.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you make any corrections?
No, I just added some flavor text.
Nice.
Oh, nicely done.
People can find it. I added some links so you can get between things better.
Yeah, if you want to check this out yourselves, it's ign.com/wikis/ign-podcast/video_game_game_20_questions. But I linked to it on my Twitter again. If you just go to my Twitter, Dan0, you can find it.
There we go.
So the Video Game 20 Questions wiki includes episode numbers, date, participants, the game, whether or not it was a win or loss, and how many questions were asked. Mm-hmm. While creating the wiki and watching the episodes, I came across what may be considered some video game 20 questions, fun facts, and tidbits.
Ooh, exciting!
Yeah.
I like this guy already.
Number one, the first two episodes, 341 and 342, each panelist had their own game to name.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It became a team effort due to time.
Right.
It was running too long doing game for each person.
How did that work?
Justin had his own game that he had 20 questions to guess. After him, we'd move on to Jared.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a segment.
It's a much better way to do it this way.
In episode 350, on the 20th question, each panelist got to pick a game, with Brian Altano getting the correct answer, which was Castle Crashers.
Ooh.
I guess it wasn't clear, by the 20th question, it wasn't clear what the game was, so each person guessed a different game. That's how it worked.
Fascinating.
With the exception of the episodes just mentioned, the panelists have so far won 34 out of 40, so they have 85% win rate.
That's great. That's a B. Nice. That's a solid B. I'll take it.
It's great. In episode 351 is the only time the panelists lost without using the 20th question. The game was StarCraft. Mitch Dyer mentioned it at least a couple times, but did not ask. He must have guessed something else.
Oh, wow.
Weird. Yeah.
So he said, okay, we're going to end it, and I'm going to guess the wrong thing.
And then he guessed the wrong
thing. Oh!
That's brutal. I didn't know that was possible.
I like this fun fact. If you, for those that only listen to the show, like myself, Mr. Hatfield keeps question count by using his fingers. I did not know. Because he only listens to the show.
That's great.
So people don't know that I'm holding out my fingers all the time.
That's great.
Audio only.
Justin Davis is the 20 questions champ. He has the fastest win. Episode 342, guessing 7 questions, Mike Tyson's punch out.
Oh, I remember that episode. Yeah.
You have the highest participation. You've been in 86% of all rounds.
That's a great stat.
You have the most wins, 31 out of 37.
Yes.
Always sits next to Damon.
Yep.
Except for episode 366, where he sat between Ryan McCaffrey and Sam Claypool.
No, I didn't care for that.
Why would you say, oh yeah, you just.
I didn't care for that one bit. I tried to get him to move and he wouldn't.
Ryan knows where he wants to sit.
Yeah.
Episode 347 was the first where a game was written in by a listener. The listener was Matt. The game was SOCOM. 348, the new rule began of when a game was guessed incorrectly, it would end the game and the panelists would lose.
Ooh.
There have been two instances of using the same game in two different episodes. There are Mass Effect 2 and Gyromite.
What?
Yeah, we've done it twice.
Get it together.
I know.
You can consult this wiki now when you're using the new games.
And there are some nail biters.
All right, so first we should always ask, is it Gyromite or Mass Effect 2? Because we have a good chance of ending the game in one question.
It's true.
We do.
Some nail biters have been, there have been 4 wins on the 20th question, 5 wins on the 19th question, 3 wins on the 18th question.
That's great.
Yeah.
And the little guys, out of a total of 47 games, there have been only 2 handheld games, Pokemon Red and Blue and Advance Wars.
Pokemon's top.
And there have only been 4 downloadable games, Fat Princess, World of Goo, Castle Crashers, and Shovel Knight.
Ooh, okay.
So.
7 questions.
Fantastic.
I remember getting Punch Out in 7 questions, because that's when you were still picking the games, and I was playing Damon.
Yeah.
I wasn't playing the game. I said.
Yeah, that's why I thought.
What?
It's better
what
to have
did
the
Damon
listeners.
Do?
It's better to have the listeners.
Did Francisco?
Or else it's just gonna be this guy 1, this guy 2, this guy 3.
Now, Damon, did Francisco? Sorry.
Well, did Francisco Alvarez the 3rd submit a game?
He did submit a game.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad
he that right. But he says, "I'll be updating the wiki every week. The hard part is done."
It's true.
Now, what about the story of this lost episode you and I were talking
it's
about?
Not, you keep calling it that. Yeah. It's not a lost episode.
So where is it? Why isn't it on the wiki?
It's just an audio-only episode. So if you subscribe to the GameScoop podcast feed in iTunes,
okay.
So you have this episode.
But
it's not lost.
He said he only listens, but the Beyond Oasis episode's not on there.
You know what, Jared? Well, call the cops.
I'm just curious.
This is a question for Francisco Alvarez.
He put in so much work.
I'm not criticizing.
I was on the wiki, and it's great.
It's fantastic.
Are you saying that in one of the columns it says lost episode?
No, what I'm saying is that there's a Beyond Oasis episode that's not on the list yet, and I'm trying to figure out how it got missed. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Francisco has submitted his own game. Let the questioning begin.
Whoa, jeez. Do you play as a human?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes, you do.
Was this game released after January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
I'm stuck on the human thing. Before, what was it?
Sorry. After January 1st, 2000.
You definitely play as a human.
It's a 21st century game.
Oh, I'm out.
I was still stuck on the human thing too.
After January 1st, 2000.
After 2000. Yeah. Okay. Are you inside some kind of vehicle or apparatus of some kind?
No.
Is this game associated with consoles?
Yes.
Associated with consoles? Just ask.
Well, what do you want me to ask?
Is it on a console?
Well, that's what I asked.
No, it's.
Is this part of the you know, PlayStation 2 era console generation?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this game 3D?
No.
Okay. Is this game part of the previous console generation?
No.
Okay, so it's contemporary then. Yeah, wow.
A contemporary 2D game where you mostly play as a person.
You definitely play as a person. Sorry, I hesitated.
A contemporary 2D game where you play as a person.
Yeah.
Was this a downloadable game?
Not exclusively.
Was it an exclusive on a platform?
Yes.
Ooh, there we go.
Is this a handheld game?
No.
Is this a Nintendo
game? That is 10. Question number 11, is it a Nintendo game? Yes.
Okay.
So it's so that makes it a Wii U game, right?
Almost certainly.
Yeah. Is it a Wii U game?
Yes.
Sounds like it's
Wait, 2D.
Sounds like it's Mario Maker or Wind Waker.
No, it's 2D.
Okay, it can still be Mario Maker or Wind Waker.
Wind Waker's
3D. I guess you can call Wind Waker 3D.
Wind Waker's totally 3D.
I feel like it's a drawn.
I would think of that as a 3D game.
I guess it's 3D.
I would have considered Wind Waker 3D.
I'm trying to think about a smarter way to narrow this down. Well, okay, was this game made by Nintendo? Developed by Nintendo?
Yes.
Okay. We didn't already ask that.
Okay, yes.
Do you construct levels in this game?
Yes.
There we go.
Cool.
Is it Mario Maker?
It's StarCraft.
It's 15. It is Mario Maker.
Woo!
Yeah, I had to think like, yeah, you play as a human, you play as you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I guess that's a little weird.
That is a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
You end up playing as Mario, and Mario's a human.
Yeah, but...
He's a plumber.
You're playing your own construct. And then I thought the hand could also be a cat paw.
Oh, that's a good point. It can be a cat.
That's just an avatar for you. You're the person playing
the
this game and building.
The hand can be a cat paw. Well, yeah, human is technically the person playing every game. I guess we need to specify in future 20 questions, is your character a human? And that would make it even harder for you.
Do you have a character? What about Tetris?
Yeah, you are a character.
Who are you in Tetris?
Ooh, yeah. That's a good point. You are the hand of God in Tetris.
Yeah.
Russian God.
Well,
Russian
God. Thank you very much for building this wiki, Francisco.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we'd like to help you with it. Please put those facts in the top nav section of that wiki, because I think those facts are really cool.
Yeah, that's really flattering. It's really cool that you did that.
Yeah, that's great.
Very cool. That is all the scoops we have for this week. I'm going to be in PAX East this weekend, so if you were there, you're required to come and say hi. I look forward to seeing a bunch of you and hanging out. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Sam. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.